Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, welcome to After Fantasy Podcast, episode 26. I'm your host, Peter, joined this week by the usual Jewel, Tom and Gunnar. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, good, thank you.
How are yourself, Gunnar?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, thank you.
Excellent. What a game week, eh? A game week like no other.
That is right, yeah.
Yep. So we'll start with the league and then we'll take it there like we always do. So our top three in the league this week, if it loads up, there is one change. Top still, Wolfstone, Tony McClenny, 1398 points total. Second, Conquering Lions, Robbie Dempsey, 1367 total. And up to third is Oi Oi Hudson Adoy, like that name, Murray McDermott, 1337.
So, Maz.
Is that Murray McDermott? Maz, yeah. Hey, good, that's good to know, future reference. Right, the average for the game week was 17. We all beat it, some is more so than others. So, I had 34 points. Tom had 18, Gunnar had 18. Tom, talk us through your team.
Okay, so I had Lewis in goal for 0 points. Captain Tav got me -2. Gallagher got me 2. Vice-captain Guthrie got me 2. Ayer got me nothing. Goldson 2. In midfield, I had Newell got me 3. Turnbull was the saviour with 7. Mullen 2. O'Hara 1. And Stevie May 1.
Nothing on the bench, I take it. Right.
No.
Gunnar, on you go.
Yeah, the Livy goalie in goal, Strijek, 2 points. Barisic, a two-pointer as well. Same as Guthrie and Goldson, -2 from Captain Tavernier. I had Vice-Captain Guthrie. 7 points as well. Turnbull, Mullen got me 2 points. Ferguson got me nothing. Then -4 from Ryan Hedges. Nisbet got me 6 points and 1 point of Stevie May. Nothing on the bench.
Mention that
because if I had something on the bench, Hedges wouldn't have come on.
Mention Hedges, get to get my arm ready for the injection. Hedges, mention Hedges off the bench. Brilliant. Right, I had 34 points. I had Anik in goals, or Almick in goals, 2 points. Hoban for nothing. Goldston 2. Guthrie 2, vice-captain. I didn't captain Tavernier this week. Thank God, -1. Turnbull 7. Captain Mullen for 4. Robinson for 7, Ferguson nothing, Clark off the bench for 5, and Nisbet off the bench for 6, 34 points. The only one I missed out on was Barisic for Hoban, but that's a risky take. So, first of all, there has been breaking news in the Scottish Premier League fixtures, obviously, but that obviously includes the app. There has been 4 games rescheduled now into the week that was originally the Scottish Cup weekend, because that's also been postponed going forward. So the games going forward, if my slow phone would let me do it, is Celtic versus, drumroll, St Mirren, Dundee United versus Hibs, Kilmarnock versus St Johnstone, and Livingston versus Aberdeen. They were all games that's either moved from future dates or postponed game from last night. So the dilemma now is for the app, as I've already been speaking to them, is what they do with this. Do they make this a single standalone game week, or do they bring it in line with the game week, maybe because there's games on the Tuesday and Wednesday after, which would give you a double game week. So what's your thoughts on this, Gunnar?
Well, I suppose I would like a double game week because they're always fun. It's just game week 25 is a blank, right? So that we wouldn't get these games added there. So it would be game week 26, am I right in saying that?
It looks like it by the calendar.
Right. I mean, it remains to be seen if they actually play all these games. You know, we've seen it this weekend with COVID and with like pitches not being playable. So
sorry, go out with the game week 27, I think, because Wednesday 27th of January is a full game card, so 27 it would be.
So game week 27 and the game. So I'm just going to go through the games again. So Celtic have St Mirren then and also Kilmarnock in that game week. Dundee United have Hibs and also Motherwell. And mm-hmm. Kilmarnock have St Johnstone and Celtic. Yeah. Livy, Aberdeen and... No, that's already in that game week here in Sutty's ticker, if I'm looking
at it. Yeah, I'm just assuming that if they move it into that game week, they'll be double game week because obviously it's a new right. game week now. It's not been... There's not included it yet, so... It's what to do with it.
Right. So I'm going to tell you my feelings on it. Then when I look at Sutty's ticker, I'm seeing blank game week 25. And then, so until we get there, till 27, that's three game weeks. And like I say, I'm not sure how many of these games in the end are actually going to be played. So I don't know how much preparation you can actually make for these fixtures or for the game week there already. It might be a bit too early for that.
Right. Tom, you? I know it's breaking news and I'll try to get a head around it, but thoughts?
It depends when they lump those fixtures in. If they lump them in with 26 or 27, the preference would be 27 because it gives us an extra week to prepare. Even still, you've got the massive game week 28 there, double game week where a lot of teams are playing twice. So you can pick the ones that you like that have the two double. If they do lump in with game week 27, you can pick the teams that you like that have two decent doubles and potentially capitalise on a lot of points over the two game weeks.
Yeah. Do you think there's any sort of chance that it's only a sport of mine because you bring it up there, Gunnar, that blank game week 25 with the two fixtures, that doesn't make sense. I was going to say they would put in the midweek game in with that instead, but it's ready down and kind of they've got it set in stone, haven't they? So It would start messing things about. We'll just leave it. I'm sure within the next day or two the Apple will give us notification what they're going to do it. It's probably going to be either one or two things, a standalone game week, minus four teams, or a lump in the midweek games, with, and we can work it through there. And they'll let us know quite quick, because they're always quite sharp with the new news. Okay with that?
Yep.
Right, topic this week. It's been in the news all week, as much to me and Tom's chagrin. Celtic's ill-advised trip to Dubai and all the fallout as went with it, the morality aspects of it, how it's affected the game, the assets coming out of it. Gunnar, you're not a fan of the club, so you can start with I mean, Tom can fill you in with the stuff. On you go.
Thoughts? See, I would have been interested to hear what you guys think about, because like you say, I'm looking at it from the outside in as well. It's like looking from the outside into Celtic as well as Scottish football, obviously, as well. But it just doesn't look good. I mean, I think a lot of things have been said now about Celtic going to Dubai, and it wasn't like it was possible for them to go, and it wasn't forbidden and through like government guidelines, but no other European top club or any club, I would say, like went to a warm weather camp. And then like they brought out Peter Lawl brought out this video last night as well, where he like interviewed himself, you know, like, Peter, what do you think about that? That is a good question, Mr. Lawl. You know, it's like he's being interviewed by someone of the company where he is the CEO of. Make that what you will, but it doesn't get any better. You know, they've started acknowledging now maybe that they've made a mistake in going to Dubai. I mean, taking Julian even, who's out for 3 or 4 months, and he's the one player coming down with COVID, and like as a result, 15 players or whatever it was have to isolate now as well. And then coming out and saying, oh, they could have very well got it in Scotland. Yeah, maybe, but they didn't, and they wouldn't have traveled on the plane and on like coaches together or whatnot. There would have been different measures in place, and like apart from it just not looking good. I mean, Celtic is supposed to be a community club. It's like St. Pauli, I know it's a different level, but like if like St. Pauli is close to getting relegated, for example. Like they're not doing well at the minute. If they decided now to go away warm weather camp in Portugal or whatever, that, no one will be happy with that. Like, because like for what they stand for, you know, it's just, it's not, we're all not allowed to go anywhere, see people or whatever. And then there's Celtic. It's like, oh, we've always done this. And, you know, we were allowed to go this and that. It's just, it's mental to me who even like decided to still go through with it. For me, it looks like they won the cup there, you know, quadruple treble, and let's go have a couple of days by the pool, you know. Maybe they obviously got their training sessions in as well, but I don't know. I'm lost for words there, how this decision has been made to go, and they can see the result of it now, you know.
Fair play, that was a bigger rant than I thought that even I've got planned there, Tom. Tom, what are your thoughts on this? Your 6 pence?
So, Gunnar's right. The trip was sanctioned. They're allowed to go. I think it came out that the trip was sanctioned in November. But we know, even from playing FPL in this new COVID world, that so much can change at such short notice. So sanctioning a trip in November for something that's going to take place in January, in that time, a new strain of COVID has been discovered. We've went into a second lockdown, and no one's came out and said, maybe this isn't such a good idea, guys. But they went away and did it anyway. The reason why I think they went is because it's worked in the past. They've been to Dubai in the winter break. It's worked wonders. They've came back, they've hit the ground running, and the remainder of the season's been a success. They've managed to get to 9 in a row. I'm not going to get to 10 in a row, but it's worked in the past. They've cited, I watched the Peter Lowell, and they've cited, oh, well, we've had successful trips in Europe. We've went through the group stages. We've traveled here and there on chartered flights, and nobody's got COVID and everything was fine, which is fair enough, but it begs the question, how did someone catch COVID? And it sounds like it came from Julian. He was on the trip despite struggling to walk, and he's managed to catch COVID somehow. Images have been leaked into the press. People are obviously over there on holiday, seeing the team, took pictures, shared videos and things like that. It doesn't look good. They're out there on a bit of a jolly. They're drinking pints, having a bit of a pool party, going out with the lads. They've came out and said, you know, it doesn't look good, but this is only a snapshot. But it only takes one mistake. It only takes 1 second, one stupid move, and you're somewhere you shouldn't be or whatever, and you've got COVID, or you've mixed with someone you shouldn't. And we know we're in a second lockdown because this thing spreads like wildfire. And it's you've seen the lineup on the fixture we're going to talk about soon.
Do we need it?
Celtic, they've took a massive risk on this in a scenario where Celtic needed everything to go right for them for the remainder of the season. Nothing could go wrong. They had to show up to every game, full strength, get the 3 points, convincing wins, including the matchup. We've still got 2 games against Rangers. Got to beat them convincingly. And then it's still up to Rangers to drop points in that time for us to still be in a chance of the league. It's not going to happen now. They've already dropped 2 points on the weekend there. They've got another Livingston fixture, and then another Livingston fixture after that. Livingston are absolutely flying just now. I can see them dropping points in this first Livingston fixture. I think we'll have more first team players back for the second one. But even then, you're looking at a bunch of guys that have been sitting in the house for 10 days, not training. They're not going to be match sharp. You can send a DPD guy around with a running machine, but that's not going to do any good, not at this stage of the season. They need to be firing all cylinders, match sharp, and it's just not going to happen. And I don't think the excuse is good enough, especially when it took so long to come out. They've only just folded because of all the media pressure.
They were forced into saying sorry. It wasn't because they wanted to say sorry, it was like forced upon them to say sorry.
Yeah.
You know, you suddenly add there, sorry.
It's what Tom says there. They went because it's worked in the past, and as a result of it now, they have even less players fit. It's like Tom says, like they have players sitting in the house, not training now. So they'll be even less fit now than what they were before they went to Dubai, you know. And it's mad. They're thinking behind what they wanted to get out of this trip, and then what they got, you know, in the end. It's mad.
Yep, that's what I wanted to add to it as well. Just whether they planned, it just totally backfired. As you said, all the players, they wanted to have them together doing proper training, like warm weather training, trying new tactics, blah, 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 what they're trying to do, people to get to know each other on the field. It's all backfired. Everybody seems 100% correct. They're now just going to start from scratch. They're going to be even more points behind come that. And with the game, I'm just wanting to bring it the actual game at point now. It pissed off people as well because people have probably bought free Celtic assets and then that's just blew out the window. And I know people have Turnbull, we've all got Turnbull, so we're fine, but it's messed a lot of people up game-wise. It'll make the curse of Celtic. I know it doesn't really matter with the grand scheme. I'm just bringing that into the whole the game aspect of it. And then I don't know what to add to it. It's really infuriating. And then you have that apology yesterday, like you said, it was like Peter asked himself questions, which is basically what it was. I mean, I know people who I'm talking to who just won't watch because they're angry enough, and if they watch that, it'll tip them over the edge. And they're tossing hair of fencing and sharks again outside Celtic Park, so the rest is leaving it. But it's just a total clusterfuck come to the club, from top to the bottom. And I think it's just all their own making, all their own doing. And it's like sometimes, read the room, guys. Read the room. I mean, you could cancel it. We spent the £200,000 all in on this trip. I mean, that's just absolute madness.
And then where it came from as well, they moved the game against Hibs as well. I mean, like, every club, I suppose, would have liked the winter break, and Celtic just made one for themselves. You know, that's where it already started, even if you take the COVID and, like, what's resulted out of it now, out of it, you know. Just that, you know, like, everyone would have liked the winter break, but it's just... Celtic want it all, you know. They want the game postponed. They want to go away. They want this and that. That's what I mean when I say looking at Scottish football now. And I've started only recently watching it. They want it all their own way, and it's not a good look.
After I ask the question, Tom, are we the bad guys?
Are we the baddies?
It fucking certainly looks like it, doesn't it? Obviously, he's like the good guys. Yeah. It looks like we're the bad guys. Right, that's us. We'll no stats this week. We'll move on to the results. So first up, Kilmarnock 2, Hamilton 0. Kelty 2 goals. Malumbo assist. Honstrop assist. And a clean sheet for Kilmarnock. Tom, what's on this game?
Hold on.
Right, the famous page turn.
Right. Yeah, so Kilty got two goals in this game. He was actually playing up front in a 4-4-2 with Whitehall. Once again, Kabamba found himself on the bench. Two goals wasn't too bad. He had five shots in this game, two on target, one off target, and two blocked. He also had an early shot that just went wide of the post as well. So he came close to getting a hat-trick and hat-trick bonus points too. We also seen a Dauphin who's been talked about at the start of the season. We know he's lethal in front of goals and on set pieces, and he hit the bar. So Kilmarnock did keep the clean sheet, but they came close to dropping it. It wasn't a clean sheet for Hamilton. They are still the worst defence in the league, stats-wise. And it makes me think about this Kilty Hall. Is it the fact that Kilmarnock have turned a corner? They're trying something new and it's coming off for them? Or is it the fact that they've played Hamilton this week? Hamilton have looked good attacking-wise in recent weeks. However, they only managed to muster a single shot on target from Lee Hodgson in this game. Another thing to note is Burke managed four key passes. We know he's quite good for assists as well, so that's something to consider. We kind of wrote Kilty off when we're talking about our, the competitors for the 3 million midfielder slot in our teams, but he's came back to bite us.
Right. To add to that before I let you in, Gunnar, is if Kilty's playing out of position up front, it's something to watch, I think, because that's the last two games he's played up front, or at least off the striker, a lot more forward position. And Brophy's away at St Mirren now, and the reason he's letting him away is obviously he's got plenty up front. If he's stumbling on this new partnership up front and Kilty's going to play as a second striker or behind a striker, then I think we'll jump on Kilty very much soon. Thoughts, Gunnar?
Yeah, Kilty, he's turning it on now that I've transferred him out for McGrath. And I think I took him out as well and he scored. So I'm not having a lot of luck with the 3 million midfielder at the minute. But it is like Tom says, they've tried this new formation. They're playing 4-4-2 now. And it remains to be seen if that is actually them getting better, or if this just if this is a fluke, basically. I like Kilty playing forward. Like he's gone on my watch list after this weekend, but I'm gonna wait there now. I've used so many transfers on this cheap midfielder spot. I'm gonna see what he can do over the coming weeks. Maybe if there is a good double game week for Kilmarnock, then he might be an option again.
Well, he's gonna have his next week away. So if he does end at Easter Road, then I think he's definitely one to potentially bring in again. Right, next up, St Mirren 1, Motherwell 1. McGrath, you just mentioned him yourself, Gunnar. Goal from the penalty spot. And for Motherwell, it was Cole with a what assist. Tom?
Yeah, so Devante Cole got the goal early on. He had 5 shots in this game. One on target, 2 off target, 2 blocked. Tony Watt got the assist, and he missed a big chance later on. Devante Cole, he's looked good. When he plays, he looks good, but he's been struggling with injury this season. He's already got 2 goals and 1 assist. And if he can stay fit, I'd be interested to see what he can do under the new manager. I thought the penalty was a bit of a joke. It went viral. A lot of people were commenting about it. It did wipe out the clean sheet for Motherwell and for me, being a Gallagher owner, so I wasn't too pleased about that. Brophy, we just talked about him. He came on for St Mirren. I thought they picked up when he came on. I thought he added an extra dimension to the game. And the other new boy, Quena, he previously played at Huddersfield. He wasn't in the squad. I'm not too sure why. I think he potentially could be isolating, I think, as he came over from
Dubai.
Is that what on holiday? So he's also one to look out for as well.
Hey, any after that, Gunnar?
What I didn't know is that McGrath is on penalties for St Mirren. I might have left my team a little longer. Was he on penalties before, like two weeks ago? Was he the penalty taker for them there as well?
Yeah, he's been taking penalties.
I think he's scored 2 penalties now. Yep.
I think I missed that. That could have been another easy point. So yeah, between him and Kielty for the cheap midfielder spot, I think going forward.
Just something to watch, right? I've got Brophy on my watch list as well because I think Brophy's got a point to prove for St Mirren. I'm thinking him as my third option striker. If Brophy's playing up front, Brophy might start taking pens as well because he's an actual striker. Just something to watch going forward, I think, because he's waiting for a point to prove. He's trying to get in the Scottish team for next year. He is, I believe, St Mirren's highest paid player. So I'm assuming once he's fit, he's going to be nailed on constantly. So it's just something we watch to see.
Yeah.
Right, next up, Aberdeen 1, Rangers 2. So with Reggie's red card, Kennedy goal, nice. Hayes assist, Morelos 2 goals, with Kent 2 assists. Another dig at you. Yeah, another Kent assist there. You know. And Tavernier missed penalties. So Tom, what's on this one? Missed penalty, not penalties, it was one.
Aberdeen... McCrory, he wasn't eligible to face his parent club in this game, and Roof was injured. The first incident was the penalty decision. Hedges clipped the heels of Morelos. He was denied a clear goal scoring opportunity there, apparently. And I think it's harsh, but it was definitely the right decision, but I think it's harsh given if you watch the replays, it clearly had there was no intention there.
It's a bit of a silly law. They're going to have to tidy it up for next year, I think.
Aye.
Because it's double jeopardy, basically, isn't it? Because he'd be better making a tackle, like they said on Sports Scene. He's better making a tackle, probably maybe getting a yellow card out of it, rather than sent off for not making the tackle kind of thing and making it look obvious. Sorry, on you.
Yeah. The penalty. Hedges was red carded. They got a penalty, and it was a rare Tavernier miss, which was a bit unfortunate for us, Tavernier captains, but never mind. The first goal was a Kent assist. Morelos scored, and then that was repeated for the second goal. Morelos now has 3 goals in 3, but I'd be wary of this because prior to that, he hadn't returned since game week 8. Now that Roof's out, we don't really know how long Roof's going to be out for, a few weeks. He's maybe not a great long-term shot because I imagine once Roof comes back, he'll probably be sitting a bit deeper again. It's a similar story for Kent as well, though not really as severe. His last return was game week 18 versus Motherwell, but he did manage to bag the two assists. But considering he's only getting three or four assists every 8 games at 6.4 million, he's not really value for money there. Plus, he seems to like Aberdeen as well. In the last game, he got a goal and assist, and then he scored the goal against Aberdeen in game week one as well. So he's maybe having a good week. As we mentioned there about the red, I think a red card really should be reserved for situations where it's been malicious. Like, obviously, he's had some intention to bring the man down, like a professional foul, and it's been clear. Or if it's something that's been dangerous, like he's a high tackle or he showed his studs or something like that, I think they should really review the rules in that circumstance. But that's just my opinion.
That's just a Celtic fan talk.
I know. If he was playing anyone else, I would agree with that.
Gunnar, what's in this game? Hedges?
Yeah, I think by the letter of the law, it was the right decision, but it is obviously harsh. Getting him off my bench, because I had even benched him, you know, although Aberdeen had the double game week, so I thought I made the right decision there. Even like when he got the red card, I was like, he's on my bench, nothing to worry for. And then all the Celtic squad was out, so I had Ayer and Edward there. I was like, no, I'm getting Hedges on now. So yeah, nice minus four from him. So this might finally be the week then where he leads my team, because I'm not gonna carry him with his red card. I don't know. Is he only out for the one game? Yeah,
should be one game. Tom, right?
I think it's one game. Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Aye, okay. But yeah, like I said, and like you guys said as well, it's a bit harsh. Morelos, I like him maybe as like a short term fix. Like I said, I have Edouard. He's roughly the same price there as Morelos. Roof is out, and I think I watched the highlights earlier, and then I think it was Morelos' second goal. You can hear someone is like, oh, you're back, there you go. So it remains to be seen if that's went to his head now, or if he's actually back for a couple of weeks now, where Roof is out. I think a few weeks ago I said something of if Roof is on fire now, maybe they're going to sell Morelos, but it just shows really good squad management that you have your main striker out, and then someone like Morelos of the quality that he has can come into the team and then bag his brace there. Even like, and also like win this kind of game where Tavernier misses a penalty, and I don't know, maybe in the past they wouldn't have won these kind of games, you know, although this game was pretty much dead once Ryan Hedges got sent off.
Not to add there. It was what it was. I think once the red card was happened, the Rangers had the extra man, and the way they keep the ball retention and their style of play, it was always going to end one way. I'm actually surprised Aberdeen got the goal late at the end, but I think that was Rangers taking the eye off the ball a wee bit the last hour to go. I think Steven Gerrard said that himself, that they kind of played brilliant up to 60 minutes and then they slightly took their eye off the ball, and then that's what happens. Next up, Livingston 3, Ross County 1. Robinson goal, Forrest goal, Hamilton goal, Devlin assist, Pittman assist, Forrest assist, and that would, I believe, Forrest Hamilton broke him off the bench. And for Ross County, it was Larkin goal and a Patton assist. Tom?
Yeah, so we talked about Robinson, Guthrie and Mullen last week. Unfortunately, it was only Robinson that got us a return, and then you're happy with that?
Yep.
The follow-up fixture was cancelled due to a waterlogged all-weather pitch. Never mind. Stats-wise, the chances were pretty spread evenly amongst the Livingston team. However, a previous popular Livingston player amongst managers got some big returns. It was Alan Forrest with a goal and an assist there. Another sub as well, Jack Hamilton, he sealed the win with the third goal. Harry Payton, he's another 3 million midfielder to add to the debate. At Ross County, he's had a goal and assist in his last three games. He's playing on the left wing under John Hughes. I think he played a lot deeper previously. It's just whether you fancy buying a Ross County player and falling into a potential trap there, but it's something to monitor for now. And in fairness, Ross County have beat Hibs recently, so at least they're a side that can beat Hibs this season. But again, something to monitor. Keep an eye on Ross County, see who the standouts are. But I'm still backing Robinson, Guthrie, and Mullen. and they've got a double this week against Celtic. They're going to play a depleted Celtic squad and then...
unfit one.
And a very unfit one in the second. So I'd stand by those boys.
Is that your transfer in, Tom? Is there another Livingston player coming in?
I need to get rid of McCrory as my second keeper first, so it'd be for a hit, and I'm reluctant to do that considering how crap a score I got this week, because it's just gonna damage my rank even more. So I don't know.
Right.
Possibly. We'll just have to bite the bullet.
I think you mentioned Patton there just before we linger. I want to see more for Ross County first. I know there's signs of life, but I want to see more. I want to see him getting more regular, decent results, especially going to maybe the split with the wildcard. That's in the back of my head now for wildcard team trying to get players in. What's this game, Gunnar?
So I've only skipped through the highlights here, but I thought Ross County got a bit lucky for their goal. Robinson, he scored a similar goal a couple of weeks ago. I've noticed that. And so before we started recording, I couldn't find my stat of the week, but I've just seen that Billy Mackay got subbed on 74 minutes in this game. And then I've just pulled him up here in the Fantasy Football Scotland app because I had him at the start of the season. And I've just double checked. He's only scored one goal this season. That was game week 2. And he's blanked ever since.
Fantastic. Right.
He's also a hairdresser.
Is he?
Yeah, he's doing his barber apprenticeship.
Next up, Parkhead under the lights, Celtic 1, Hibs 1, Turnbull goal, Nisbet goal. So four lights start top. I suppose looking at a paper for most assets, that's a pretty good return, Turnbull and Nisbet. But thoughts on the game, Tom?
Yeah, so Celtic were playing in this game due to not having due to COVID, they weren't playing with a recognised striker. A couple of other players that we haven't really seen before was Stephen Welsh and a young lad, Cameron Harper, who played in left wing, right wing. I think he played up front for a bit as well. We tried everything, but it didn't come off. We've talked, obviously, about the COVID situation. That was most of my spiel there. Stats-wise, Nisbet got the equaliser. He was second top for shots on... He's sitting second top for shots on target amongst forwards so far this season with 25. Edward can only better that with 26. No other Hibs players got more shots on target than Nisbet in this game. He got 4 shots, 3 on target, and 1 off. He was kind of a standout player. Turnbull managed 2 shots on target. That was including his free kick where he scored the goal. Other than that, there wasn't really any sort of big standouts for Celtic. Hibs, we've talked about Hibs defenders. Paul McGinn managed 4 key passes in this game. The Celtic double kind of hangs in the balance just now. Turnbull's probably going to play both fixtures just because of the lack of bodies. But as we've mentioned, a lot of these guys that are going to come back for the second fixture have been sat in the house for 10 days. Hibs fixtures coming up. They've got Kilmarnock, the blank, Rangers, St Mirren, and their double consists of Aberdeen and Dundee United. So two quite defensive teams there. I think Nisbet's really the only consideration because everything else, that they're not always getting clean sheets just now. They haven't been too consistent defensively, and the assists and goals are kind of spread out amongst the rest of the team. Nisbet's really the only sort of consistent player. So I got rid of him a while ago, so I'll be looking to get him back.
Okay. That's if Nisbet stays as well. There's a lot of talking we're doing to English team. A lot of interest in him.
Yeah.
Wait and see. Gunnar, thoughts on this game?
Yeah, Nisbet is the only one interesting me really from Hibs as well. I still have Marciano. I don't know how long he's going to be out for still. I think you could argue maybe Hibs should have or could have won this game against Celtic, especially with the depleted squad they had. Seen in the highlights, Hibs had a chance late on maybe to win it as well. I don't know. Celtic probably done as well as they could with the team that they put out. But even then, they played some guys there, Harper and Welsh, that don't usually play in the first team. But still, you're looking at the lineup. You've got Tom Rogic, Turnbull, McGregor, Duffy, Frimpong. So you got a couple of first teamers in there. And I thought it was Duffy maybe as well for Nisbet goal, who couldn't get the ball away.
Shocker.
Once again. And yeah, like we said, they got two Livy games coming up now, two games against Livy coming up. And that's exactly what Celtic don't want. A team that is good from set pieces as well. I don't think Shane Duffy is going to sleep the night before these two games, you know. It's horror, you know. Just Julian is probably happy that he's out for these games anyway. So he's passing the mantle on there to Duffy, getting nightmares about it.
Mate, I've really not had. I thought the game was really, really poor to watch. I thought for all Celtic lacked also a lot of first team players. I don't think Hibs really offered much myself either. I thought Hibs still look pretty off form. And but I didn't see how they do the next couple of games. Hibs at home with Kilmarnock, Celtic and Lomison. We'll see how they go on. Next up, Dundee United 2, St Johnson 2. The game was postponed from the Saturday into the Tuesday. So we had a Pierre goal. Shankland with an absolute beast of a goal. Clark assist, a Pierre assist, and for St Johnson, Mel Hammonds, is that his first goal, Tom? Mel Hammonds scored. Kane goal, yep. And Witherspoon with two assists. Tom, thoughts?
Yep. So Guy Mel Hammonds starts. He was part of a front three of Witherspoon, Kane in the centre, and he was on the other side. May was benched again, so that's a concern for owners. This is his Mel Hammonds' first start since game week 15 and got Saints the first goal. His numbers were pretty good in this game. He managed 7 shots, 4 on target, but he missed 3 big chances. But that's, you know, he's putting himself in the right positions to get these chances, which is promising considering his lack of sort of match sharpness, you could say. Witherspoon got both assists, unsurprisingly, considering he made 9 key passes, which is probably a record for this season in a single game. I don't think we've had any figures like that. So it's promising for St Johnston. Dundee United, they only had 2 shots on target and they scored from both of them. Aperi is out of position. He was playing up front with Shankland. He's actually classed as a midfielder. He had a goal and assist in this game, and this is his only returns of the season so far. So maybe monitor him for now. Shankland, obviously, with the wonder goal, probably goal of the season.
Nah,
we're not stopped there anyway. So, yeah. And Dundee United face Hamilton next, so it's looking good considering how well Kelly did on the weekend. After that, they have a blank, then St Mirren, and then Motherwell in a double game week. It's actually quite nice. Game week 28, they play Ross County and Hibs. Hibs have been just struggling a wee bit attacking-wise and defensively, and Ross County are still sort of finding their feet under John Hughes, so I might be tempted with going back Shankland. Edwards out, Roof's out, Stevie May's on the bench. I'm running out of options.
I suppose you put it that way. There's any thoughts on this one, Gunnar?
I like what Tom says there. Edwards out, Roof is out. For me, I don't know if I want to go with Shankland again or if I'm gonna give it to Nicky Clark this time. You know, I had him at the start of the season, and once I got rid, he proper turned it on. I thought Lewis Nielsen, I looked that up. He had an absolute mare there for St. Johnson's second goal. Just trying to hook it. And yeah, that didn't really work. And I thought Shanklin's won the goal is like a classic case of what's the goalie doing, Tom? You know, he was just in no man's land. And yeah, it's a good goal. But only 2 shots on target for United in this game. So got a bit lucky there. You could argue maybe that they both went in.
Okay, so obviously the double game week game was cancelled, Livingston Aberdeen. So I'm sure that had a massive effect on the average this week, as people had probably planned accordingly for Aberdeen Livingston assets. Didn't pan out that way. Right, so we'll go to predictions then. Gunnar, you'll be like this. As it stood, it was 24 Peter, 10 Tom, Gunnar 23. So where are the results? So first up is Livingston Ross County. Gunnar, I mean, you got it right. We both said 3-1. Tom, you were close. You said 3-0. Next up, Aberdeen Rangers. I said 1 each, and you both said 1-0, so a point each there. And Celtic Hibs, I said 3-0, Tommy said 2-0, and Gunnar said 1 each, so you get 3 points there.
Aye.
As it stands, Gunnar's took lead. Pierre's 27, Tom's in 12, and Gunnar's jumped up to 30 points. There you go, Gunnar. That's a wee moving present for you.
At least when Hedges takes the points away from me, then I'll get the podcast points at least, innit?
Right, so fixtures coming up, another double game week as it stands. It's Celtic, Livingston, Hamilton, Dundee United, Hibs, Kilmarnock, Ross County, Aberdeen, St Johnstone, St Mirren, Motherwell Rangers, and Livingston Celtic back to back. So, first up, I should predict Celtic versus Livingston, and I have went 2-0 Livingston, Tom.
Ooh.
It hurts me to say it, but I just think.
Yeah, I'll probably back you on that one. Yeah, 2-0, I'll say that as well.
Gunnar?
I can see Turnbull scoring one here. So 2-1 to Livy.
Okay. Next up, Ross County versus Aberdeen, and I have went 2-1 Aberdeen to Tom.
2-2.
And Desmond? Gunnar?
With Hedges out there lacking a bit of creativity, I would presume. So I'm going to go for differential. 1-0 Ross County.
Oh. Peyton assist. Next up, Saints versus Saints, St Johnstone versus St Mirren. I've went 1 each, Tom.
3-1 St Johnstone.
Oof.
Good.
Lamed hat trick.
I'm going to say 1-1 draw.
Okay. Right, so next section is transfers, captains and vice captains for this week. So, transfer plans week coming ahead. I will start. I am thinking I will bring in a Celtic player for double game week. What I've seen in the squad there, I've already got Turnbull. I've got Edwards not playing, but I noticed obviously McGregor and Sorrow in midfield. So I might move to McGregor. But then I'm thinking the week after, Aberdeen are playing in the blank week, so it was going to be for Ferguson, so I might stand still. I'm going to I'll be thinking about it later on, have a look at it, but it's either going to be Ferguson for somebody or I just stand still so I've got players in double game week. Your thoughts on the transfer, Tom? If any.
Well, as I mentioned there, I'm lacking in the striker role. Edward will probably come back in for the second Livingston game because it's only Celtic and Livingston that have got double game weeks, really. So it's not like you can switch for another double game week player. So he's going to have at least a single game week, you'd imagine. So might just stick with him. Roof's out, but this Stevie May situation, I might get Guy Mohammed because I've just mentioned.
I thought you were going to go there with a hat trick.
I think I might because I'm seriously lacking strikers. Everyone else can manage, but yeah, I think I'm going to do that.
Okay, Gunnar, transfer thoughts if any.
I'll probably take back what I said earlier in transferring out Hedges. So Aberdeen played through the blank, so yeah. he'll miss the next game week now and then be back for the blank where I probably would bring someone like him back in. So I'll leave him on the bench, but that still leaves me then with Edward and Ayer. I like what Tom said there. Edward might potentially be back for the second game. I still don't know if Celtic have enough about them to put Livy away even in the second game. That leaves me with Ayer. I would maybe want a Livy defender in, but I got the goalie. So I'm maxed out on Livy players already. I also got Stevie May, so that is a problem as well. Like the position where I would want to bring someone in would probably be in midfield, but I'm quite happy there, especially if I keep Hedges. So I'm looking for a striker. I'm in the market basically for a striker of and a defender, and I have no idea who it's going to be yet.
Typical, you know, transfer talk. It doesn't give an answer, but I'll wait. Right, so stick with you, Gunnar. Captain and vice captain for the week coming ahead then.
Rangers against Motherwell. I'm going to stick. I know we've got a question on that, but I'm going to stick with the captain Tavernier in this one. Although Livy have to double game week. Huh? Yeah, Captain Tavernier, vice-captain Guthrie.
Okay, Tom, you, captain and vice-captain?
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think Livingston will probably get at least one clean sheet out of that. We've said they're going to win 2-0 against Celtic in the first fixture, so that's a clean sheet. And then they've got a good chance in the second game, so... Vice-captain Guthrie, captain Tav.
Right, I am sticking with what I done last week, and we stick with two Livingston players. I probably go for vice-captain Gouffre, maybe, and I'll captain either Muller or Robinson. I'll see how I feel near the time. So that brings us to the actual question. That's nice. That's nice podcast work when you link things into the question. We'll go on question this week. It's from Laura Loving. And she asks, more of a general question, are you still on the always captain Tav train? So I'll go first. Obviously, I am not last week and I won't be this week. It worked out for me last week, obviously, because Tav was minus points. But I think in general terms, if it's going to be a single game week, I will be captaining Tav. It's just the fixture this week to me look too appealing, not to going to Livingston. Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I've said I'm going to stick with Tav this week. And I think unless you can be tempted with a double game week, I would stick with him. Because the Aberdeen game could have went a very different way. They did manage to get the goal from not a lot. I mean, I think Hedges had a decent shot and McGregor saved, wonder save from McGregor, but Tav was presented with the penalty. 9 times out of 10, he's going to score those. So he would have got a goal. He would have got the double points for that. And 9 out of 10 times, they get the clean sheet as well. So I think they're having a bad week at the office. So I'm going to stick with it.
What are your thoughts on the always captain Tav mantra?
I agree with Tom. Like any other game, we would have put away that penalty and then they conceded that late goal, which maybe was a bit unlucky as well. And then we wouldn't even be talking about that. I just pulled up the overall points for all the players in the Fantasy Football Scotland, and it's Tavernier on 220 points. You got Goldson, 153. So that's already almost 70 points between them there. And the first non-Rangers player is in fifth, Kevin Nisbet on 92 points. So compared to Tavernier's 220 again. In another week, he scores that penalty and they keep a clean sheet and we wouldn't even talk about this unless what Tom and you said as well, Peter. If I'm tempted by a double game week, then yes, maybe. But for now, I don't see anything why I wouldn't stick with Tavernier.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I've only done it because the 2 game weeks I feel are appealing, Livingston-wise. Yep. Especially with Celtic, as you say, Tom, depleted team and then unfit team. I think it's a make there. It could be 2 defeats or 2 wins for Livingston. So I'll take a punt for 1 week again and back to probably captain Tav for other more. Right, we want the FPL before we finish up then. The game week isn't completely finished, so just a quick run through we've got so far. So the results have happened so far is Sheffield United 1, Newcastle 0, Burnley 0, Man United 1, Wolves 1, Everton 2, Man City 1, Brighton 0, Spurs 1, Fulham 1. Are you getting to see in these games, Tom? Are you happy just to go to the points?
I guess up to yourself.
If you've got stats, you've got stuff you hit as well.
I can do a quick rundown.
Oh, okie dokie then, take it away.
So we had Sheffield United, Billy Sharp with the penalty. Newcastle played very defensively against a team that's really only scored 8 or 9 goals so far this season, which I was quite surprised about. Newcastle's double has now changed. They're now away at Arsenal. And then they've got a following fixture now against Aston Villa on Saturday the 23rd. It's going to be a tricky double. So for those that are interested in investing in the likes of Wilson, if you're maybe free hitting for the double game week 19... I'd maybe think that one again because I wasn't too impressed with them against Sheffield United. Man United, it was 1-0 to them. Pogba with the goal and Rashford assist. They managed to get the clean sheet as well. Burnley offered little going forward, but they managed to contain Man United. Wolves 1, Everton 2. Neves with the goal, Aitnori with the assist. I was convinced with Everton missing Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison. Obviously, he came on as a sub later on, but missing the two of those guys starting, I thought Wolves' clean sheet was nailed on, but it will be managed to put the end to that pretty early on. Dean, he was playing as a winger, and up front it was Sigurdsson and James Rodriguez in a 4-4-2. Interesting that they can still do it despite having their top scorer missing, but it was a good display from Everton. City again, it was a low scoring 1-1-0 to Brighton. Foden with the goal, KDB got the assist. Sterling was subbed on, missed a penalty. It would have been a KDB assist had he scored. And usually De Bruyne's on the penalties anyway, so I was a bit surprised he wasn't taking them. But after the game, Pep Guardiola said, well, Kevin was a bit tired, so Sterling took the penalty, which I'm a bit concerned because
I really enjoyed all that kind of chat after your thing last week.
Because Man City have a really nice double, both home games, Crystal Palace and then Aston Villa. So I think there's some chatter of people even considering a triple captain for KDB. I'd be shying away from that when I'm even considering an alternative captaincy option. I think he might get rested for one of those.
I think so as well.
But no, you never know with Man City. It's a bit of a lottery. And then the last one was Spurs 1, Fulham 1. Kane with the goal, Reguilon with assist. They didn't manage to keep a hold of the clean sheet. Son hit the post during the game. I thought Spurs were pretty attacking. Aurier and Ndombele and Reguilon managed to create 6 big chances between them, but it just never came off. And then eventually they just start sitting back trying to secure the win. And then Fulham were just knocking at the door constantly for a good while. And it came off for them. Caviello got the goal. And Lookman, who's been, seems to be well talked about in that Fulham team, got the assist. So Fulham, I don't think Fulham are the pushovers that they're not the whipping boys that we described them at the start of the season. So
definitely improved.
Yeah, they're getting there.
Yeah, just to add to that, I was quite surprised when I checked this morning that my Lloris had a bonus point. It was like, for saves, I was sleeping for the game finishing. So, on that, before I get to, we'll obviously cover this game week total points next week when the week's finished. But what are you waiting on tonight for the Arsenal game, Crystal Palace? Sorry, Tom, you waiting for anything first?
Yeah, I've got Lacazette up front and also Mitchell. So, depends what way that game goes, I could still get some points.
Hey, Gunnar, who have you got for tonight? Well, you've got a free hit, same as me, so who have you got?
I got Leno in goal, Tierney and Saka.
Right, and I've got Tierney, Smith Rowe, I forgot his name there, and Lacazette up front. So how are we sitting point-wise before we move into next week, obviously? So I'll go first. I'm on 43 points as it stands. I had Lloris in goals, Cancelo and Stones, clean sheet at the back, Tierney still to play, Neto a try for differential, didn't work, Son 2 points, Fernandez 2 points, Bruyne 6 points, a Captain Kane for 16. On the bench, Ramsdale 9 points, a bit of sickener, and Shaw for 7 points if somebody doesn't start. Yourself, Gunnar?
I got 6 points each from Cancelo and Wan-Bissaka. Then I got 7 points of Diaz, Tierney still to play, same as the goalkeeper. 2 points each from Son and Bruno. 6 points from Rashford. Captained De Bruyne got me 12 points. And Kane got me 8 points, and Saka in midfield still to play. I got nothing on the bench. I built my free hit that way that I basically only had Brewster who played, but I wasn't expecting anything there anyway.
Okay, Tom, you didn't take free hit. You took a minus 8. So why talks are your points so far?
Yeah, so I'm sitting on 37 as it stands. I've got Cancelo and Stones both got me 6. I've still got Mitchell to play. Burke got me 1 point. Captain Kevin De Bruyne got me 12, Son 2, and Fernandez 2. Then up front, I've got Lacazette still to play, and Kane got me 8 points.
Right, like I say, we'll cover the point total in more detail next week when we have 2 games to cover. Right, so next week is a very big game week in the FPL, and it's a double game week. So what's the thoughts going forward? I'll just go do these one at a time. If his transfers for next week coming forward, what's the captaincy plans? And how many double game week players do you have? And I'll start with you, Tom.
I'm not too sure on my transfer yet because things are changing so much. You wake up every day and a fixture's been rearranged, so I'm not too sure. I was pretty nailed on Kevin De Bruyne until Man City played through the week, so I'm still considering my captaincy. Out of all the double game weeks, I think West Ham will probably have the best one. And I only own Cresswell, and he's a defender. So I'd kind of like to get an attacker. I might get rid of Harrison and get rid of one of the West Ham mids, because Leeds now only have a single game week fixture against Brighton. But even then, they could still, you know, Leeds are pretty attacking, so they could still get just as much in a single game than they could over 2. I could upgrade Burke because I've got a bit of money in the bank. Maybe look at getting Suchek or someone like that. In terms of double game week players, I've got Martinez in goals. My back three are all doubles, so that's 4. Kevin De Bruyne, 5. and Fernandez 6. So I've got 6. But of the single game week players, I've got Kane and Son, who are both facing Sheffield United. You'd fancy them. Lacazette's at home in Newcastle, and then Bamford and Harrison are at home at Brighton. So not too bad fixtures there.
Right, you're going to say to you, captain's transfer plans, and how many players do you have for double game week? Have you really plenty of chips?
So, all my players except 4 of them are double game week players. I played my wild card just before this. I don't have De Bruyne. I only just remembered this, or only just seen this, because I was playing around with the free hit so much that I was fully convinced I already had him anyway. But I have no City midfielders. Double City defense. I got Trent over Robertson on the wild card. I think Trent was even cheaper, but it looks like Robertson is going to be the better prospect there going forward. But yeah, so I'm stuck with Trent now. Still got Justin. I got double West Ham. Got Kufal in defense and Suchek in midfield. But Son and Kane, Bamford up top. In my bus team here, I've benched Bruno Fernandes because he's playing against Liverpool, but I'll probably change that around still. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I might punt captaincy on Salah. He likes to goal against Man United and have Burnley next. I can also see Kane maybe getting a few against Sheffield United, but he's only got the single game week there. So same as the Fantasy Scotland. I'm not too sure yet what I'm going to do.
Any chips planned or no bench boost or anything this week? You saving that?
Like, originally I had the bench boost planned, but
fixtures messed it about.
Yeah, I'm going to see closer to the deadline because, like Tom said, it's changing every day. And I've got so much stuff to do anyway because I'm moving house. And then I'm on Twitter and another fixture has been moved to somewhere and I'm pulling up the calendar and trying to get my head around it. And it's just, so I'm just going to have to wait and read up on it a little more before I can make any decisions.
Just remember, it's 11 o'clock UK time.
Yeah, already seen
just
that.
So you know that, yep, just yep. So you know that. Right, myself, I've got 9 double game week players as it stands now. But I'm thinking, well, I've got Martinez in goals. I've got Cancelo, Stone, Zuma, Johnson in the back for West Ham, who I will be upgrading probably to Dawson. Craig Dawson from West Ham, who has more chance to start. And I've been speaking to a couple of West Ham fans online, including the FPL Irons, oi oi, that he's probably got the jersey until he loses it. So I think he'd be nailed with having him in. I think as long as the prices don't change, I've got Suchet, Grealish, Salah, Fernandez in midfield, and Kane and Bamford up front. I dropped Son to the bench with Walker Peters and Brewster. Also, because the double game weeks changed things about, I was planning on bench boosting. I don't know. I want to leave it now, I think. But then I've got Son sitting there. Is it Son or Bamford against Brighton at home? What's the best option? I don't know yet. So I don't think I'll play a chip. I just need to probably tinker on my team. And I'm quite happy with that. After three hit, walking at 9 team players. My caps is sitting in Salah now, as you said yourself. He likes to go against Man United, and then he's got Burnley. I think he's got a point to prove. I had a wee think about Suchek with Burnley and West Brom at home. But I think I'd be a bit too bold and risky. Too bold and risky in case I need to complete another asset and fall away in the rankings. So I might cross my mind, but I don't think. I think I'll stick with the tried and tested and go with Salah. And that is it.
Did the West Ham fans mention anything about Antonio? Because I quite liked him at the start of the season. But he's injured for a wee bit.
Saying he's probably going to start, but I think it's a young boy that's coming through that Moyes has been talking up, and he's probably going to get minutes. So there are two schools of thought. They're thinking he's going to half the game time, and they're kind of saying, no, what will happen is Antonio just won't get the 90 minutes in both games. So I don't know if that's a risky take if it comes off before 60, or you think he's going to get 20 minutes to end it. They're not too sure themselves, so it's up to you. I know he's quite a attractive asset and they've got decent fixtures. I like Antonio myself, but His hamstrings are made of cheese, so I don't know. Any other stats to finish up, guys?
No, but happy with that.
No.
Are we going to come back the same time next week to cover the double game week again? Are we going to try to do that? Or are we?
Sounds good. We can come back.
Sounds good. Right, okay, Tom, hit us with your plugs in before we leave.
Okay, so I am at FFS underscore scout. I'm on the pod. I'll be doing the article probably at some point tomorrow, so keep an eye out for that. Like, retweet, hit me up.
Hey, Gunnar, I laugh at it every week, by the way, hit me up. Every week, I laugh at it. Yeah, plugs in.
I'm Fitball Weekly Pod on Twitter. I do podcasts with my mate John. That's been on hold for a couple of weeks now because we both got so much on. But we're trying to get that back next week, the week after, and be a bit more active on Twitter as well. So if you want to get in touch, any questions regarding Fantasy Football Scotland, yeah, get in touch.
Yep, I was just going to ask it when your next podcast was, but you've just answered it. A couple of weeks' time, we're back to normal.
I hope we can do it next time when I've moved house to the new place and then have it all set up. That's the plan.
Excellent. You can follow me also at Fantasy Half. You can listen to his downloads on iTunes, give us a review, or rather you get your podcast. And once again, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more Fantasy Football Scotland talk. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.